And the danger that we see in Samson and that we need to learn and realize for ourselves is that Samson brought to the work a divided heart. He had one side, or let's say his one hand, went and was seeking, and he saw this Philistine woman whom he sought now to take for his wife. But he hated the Philistines on the other hand. And the Lord had instilled that in him, and there was that which the Lord had given him to do. And so on the other hand, he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. And this is the part that the Lord had in it. And the Lord will accomplish, as was just said, the Lord will accomplish his work despite our failures, despite us. He's ever faithful to his word, and he will accomplish his purpose. But how am I? The Lord has given each one of us, as we've said already, something that he purposes for us to do. Now, in that purpose that he's given, am I doing that also with a divided heart like Samson? We spoke about the single eye this morning. Is my eye on Christ and him only, and to serve him in the completeness and desire of my heart? Is it filled with him?
I think it's a tremendous question, verse 4, because we don't want anybody to think a moment that it gives us a green light to have relationships with unbelievers.
Sure.
The immoral will of God in the scripture never changes. And for a simplicity, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That will of God never changes. And what you have over here, that when you follow the thought of his wife, you really, the titles that are given wife and husband was very common in the older days of individuals that might have been in an engagement setting rather than married setting. The only thing we read about Samson with that woman are three things. He saw, it pleases him. He talked, and it pleases him. And he made a feast. And that feast was up to 7 days. And we never read of any seed, of any fruit of a relationship. In fact, the end of it, she was given to his companion. Because his will was not toward the woman to be married to Samson. His government was toward the Philistines. And that woman came in passing. Because God is very, very concerned about his will, whether Old Testament and New, that the saints of God cannot marry unbelievers. You see it in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Nehemiah. You see it in light of New Testament. So we don't want to hear any excuse, well, it happened before. It never happened. But there's a difference between the will of God and the government of God. And I want you to take hold of that truth. The will of God is concerning his children. See? When somebody says, well, I wasn't in the will of God. The will of God is always focused upon us, you and me, as children of God. Let's bring the verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For this is the will of God concerning what? Concerning you. But the government of God is really pertaining the condition of the people of God. So God will allow in his government things to take place just because of the condition and not because it is the will of God. And that's what we have to keep in perspective. I don't think that relationship brought into fruition. It was just a needful occasion. It is not for us to think elsewhere about unbelievers. We have to stay within the household of faith. And at the same time, is that God's government always comes upon people and even the saints of God because of the condition that is dominating the scene at that time.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that, Brother John. This is a good verse for us to have in our notes, Galatians chapter 6, as it relates to the government of God. He maintained at this point the not marrying or allowing this relationship to go forward. But we see, as we've been saying earlier, that Samson has now been on a downward trend. And so there are consequences individually to the decisions that he has made. So Galatians 6 brings out this thought of the government of God. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth he, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the reality is that Samson has made a decision. And there are going to be consequences in his life. And these consequences, we will see, affect other people. But the will of God, the sovereignty of God, his purpose, is going to go through. And so that purpose, as we understand it here in the book of Judges, is that the people of God would not remain in bondage to the enemy of the people of God, in this case, the Philistines. So he raised up a deliverer, Samson. And even though Samson had failure, God will always overrule so that his purposes and his will would be carried out. So it's important that we don't take that, though, as a license to live lawlessly and to say, well, God's going to work it all out. Because the reality is that we learn hard lessons. I think it's in the book of Psalms that says, the way of the transgressor is hard. So if I or you as an individual move apart from the word of God, God is going to work things out for his own purpose and his glory. But what happens is that I forfeit the blessings, I forfeit being in the way and the will of God for my life. And very often those who are around me, some who are friends in the meeting, even unbelievers sometimes, find themselves hurt or destroyed. Because you see here, as we go down to these verses, what happens to those 30 companions that, found themselves around Samson as well.